Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I'm very pleased to be back here at ISKCON Brampton. Every time I come here, I see some wonderful increase in your organization, and the spirit here is palpably positive, friendly, family-like. I see that the devotees are well-adjusted and that this is a thriving organization. And I congratulate you on your new building. Although I know that with each incremental improvement, there's a lot of work that's done by many, many devotees, staying up many nights and making many sacrifices to make such a move possible. And of course, it's the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those who dedicate their lives to the chanting of Krishna's names and following the acharyas become blessed and empowered to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mahatmanas tu mam parta daivim prakriti mashritam bhajantyananya manaso gyatva bhutitim avyayam. That those who dedicate themselves to the process of Krishna consciousness are conducted by the internal potency of the Lord. So this Krishna consciousness movement is very important. In the world, people have no idea of what to do, how to do it, or where they're going. They don't have a clear goal in life, and they're suffering greatly because of it. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his poem about the chanting of the holy name, says, Nhe ashodi maya nashi bharo lagi, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought medicine that cures the disease that is afflicting the world, that is the disease of ignorance. People go to university to come out of ignorance. They go to training centers and technical schools. They read many books to try to improve themselves. But all of these processes are within the purview of the three modes of material nature. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. They're in the closed system of this material world, and one can only advance so far in this material world, even if one follows the Vedic instructions. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nistrigunya Bhavarjana Nirdvandvo Nitya Sattvasto Niryog Shema Atmavam. That most of the Vedic instructions are under the three modes of material nature. And he says that even those who are successful in following the Vedic rituals for improvement in their material lives may go to higher planetary systems. But then he said, Shinye punya martya lokam vishante evam prapana gata gata, that they use up their pious activities, their sukriti that they acquire, and then they fall back down again into the plane of hard work. And this is going on perpetually in the material world. But there is the highest path, which is to go back home, back to Godhead. This is actually the purpose of the human form of life. It's a rare attainment to have a human body. Labvam sudulabhamidam bahusambhavante manusha martadamanityamapihadhira. The Shastra says that it's very rare to get a human body. And although it's temporary like other bodies, it's very valuable because one can use it to go back home, back to Godhead. In fact, Lord Krishna says, Dride hamadyam sulabam sudulabam plavam sukalpam guru karnadaram. This body, the human body, the nrideham, is a boat. And the boat is specifically constructed to make it across the material ocean. And for the boat, one must have a captain and also favorable breezes. So the captain is the acharya and the spiritual master. And the favorable breezes are the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's instructions that he gives. So our Krishna consciousness movement is following all these very essential instructions given by Krishna. It is not simply a ritualistic movement. It is not simply a cultural movement, but it is a universal movement which was founded by Krishna himself in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu over 500 years ago. And it is meant for the embetterment of all living entities within the universe. The primary focus of the Krishna consciousness movement is what is called parupakar, and that is doing good for others. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that one who does good for others by giving the medicine of Krishna consciousness to people is the most dear servitor of is his most dear servitor, and is that person is most dear to him. Srila Prabhupada showed the example by coming to America with the sole purpose of bridging the gap between East and West and bringing the great treasure of the East, which is the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, to the people of the West who had no idea. And he brought with him, as we know, 200 sets of Srimad Bhagavatams. He had begun translating this Srimad Bhagavatam into English while he was living in the Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan, India. And all the while he was planning to somehow or other come to America to give this message of the Srimad Bhagavatam to others. What is the message? He mentions it when he's on the Jaladuta, the boat that he came over on. He begged passage. He got a free ticket on the cargo steamship that came over. And he quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam in his poems as he's arriving in America, on the way to America. And he's thinking, how will I be successful in spreading this message to people who have no idea what it is? They've never heard of it. It may seem culturally different to them. And he begins with the verses from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which were spoken by Suta Goswami to the sages of Naimasaranya. Shushru Shrosha Dhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Mahat Sevayavi Prapunya Tirtana Shevanat. And that is, those who render service to great souls develop an affinity for hearing about Krishna. Shrinvatam swakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyantakstohi bhadrani vidhunoti suritsatam. And that is, just by the process of hearing about Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita, from the Srimad Bhagavatam, one develops piety. That is spiritual piety, not material piety. But one becomes more and more qualified for spiritual life just by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavatam is the same as Krishna. Itam bhuta gunohari. It has the same qualities as Krishna and is actually mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam as Krishna's incarnation in the age of Kali. Krishna swa dhamho bhagate dharma ganadi bisaha kalo nashtra drishamesha purar narko dunodita. Just after Lord Krishna left this world and went back to the spiritual world, the Srimad Bhagavatam appeared to give light and spiritual direction to everybody in the age of Kali Yuga. And Prabhupada could understand that people didn't know what this message was, but if they could just give some oral reception, that is, if they could just hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita and the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which is mentioned in the Shastra to be the essence of all the Vedas. In fact, this is a Vedic mantra which comes from the Kali Santarana Upanishad. And in that Upanishad, it gives the entire Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And then it says that Sarva Vedeshu Drishyate. If you look throughout all the Vedas, you'll find this mantra as the essence of all mantras that can deliver one from the material world. So he came to this world with really three commodities to offer. One was the Srimad Bhagavatam, the other the Bhagavad Gita, and this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And he had complete faith that if people could just hear this sound vibration, because it's not from the closed system of the material world, it's not business as usual, it's not what people are used to hearing, then their hearts would change. And that's what happened. He extended himself to the poor and downtrodden people of America who, although materially affluent, were being crushed by the modes of passion and ignorance. And he set up shop in New York City, not in a very opulent place, but actually in the lowest of places in New York City, where there were people dying on the streets of alcoholism. And there were, at that time, many kinds of drug deals going on and so forth. But he tolerated all this. And he understood that what he was delivering was so powerful and so important, so necessary, and that it was his solemn duty to do or die, to deliver it, because he had been given the mission by his spiritual master. He innovated and he went on to do his duty in whatever way he could. And we don't know exactly how to do our duty. We just know that we have to do it. When we're given this edict, instruction to spread Krishna consciousness, we're not exactly sure how to spread Krishna consciousness. However, we depend on Krishna for everything. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam pajatam priti purvakam dadami bhuti yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. That those who sincerely try to serve me with love, for them I give intelligence from within the heart how to come to me. So we're not dependent on some formula. We simply are, our whole movement is based on faith. And our work in the Krishna consciousness movement is parupakar. It means how to do good for others. This is the preoccupation of great souls. If you look at the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll see that the sages of Naimasaranya came together for a seminar that would last 1,000 years. I don't know what kind of seminars you all go to and how long they last. But this one was for 1,000 years, and the topic was how to do the greatest good to the most number of people. That's the idea of people who have clean hearts. They're no longer interested in their own maintenance because they understand maintenance comes and goes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he first took sannyas, went off with his followers. He said, did you bring anything with you? And they said, no, you didn't tell us to bring anything. He said, very good. He said, because the Lord has filled up the universe with food and money, and one can only get what one is destined to get according to one's karma. Don't you find that to be true? You can see food and money everywhere, but you only get what you get. So the Mahatma, or the great soul, that is one engaged in the process of Krishna consciousness, is no longer interested in his or her own maintenance. He or she understands these things come naturally. One gets a certain amount of happiness and distress. But they turn their attention to how to do good for others. And at Naimasaranya, those sages began to ask this question, what is the best thing that we can do for the people of the world? How will they be saved from the onslaught of miseries and misinformation in the age of Kali Yuga? And Suta Goswami recounts the story of Shukadeva Goswami. And Shukadeva Goswami was completely detached from worldly activities. In fact, when he lived, before he was born, he was in the womb of his mother, and he was reluctant to come out of the womb. This is the history. In fact, he took 16 years to come out of the birth canal and come out in the world because he said, I don't want anything to do with the external world. Krishna had to personally come to Vyasadeva's home and tell Shukadeva Goswami within the womb, you can come out. You won't be captured by Maya. And what happened when he came out? He took off running. Yam pravajantam anupetam apetikritam dvaipayano viraha kartara ajuhava putreti tanmatayataya taravobhnidus tam sarva bhutahridayam munim anatosmi. Shukadev Goswami, as soon as he was born, he left the home of Vyasadeva. It's Vyasadeva. He's the literary incarnation of the Lord, but Shukadev said, I don't want anything to do with home life. Vyasadeva said, I just want to give you the sacred thread. He said, no, thank you. No rituals, no family life, no nothing. I'm gone. Sorry, bye. So don't feel bad if these teenagers do these things. But Shukadev Goswami had no attachment to this material world, and he went to the forest because he was already detached from all the varieties of the material world, wanted nothing to do with it. Vyasadeva sent some of his disciples into the forest to recite verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, like the famous verse uttered by Uddhava, Aho Bhakiyam Stanakalakutam. In this verse, Uddhava is saying, who would take shelter of anyone else but Krishna? Because Krishna is the one, when he was a little baby, when approached by Putana, who is a great demoness sent by Kamsa to kill him, and she had smeared her nipples with deadly poison with the idea of killing the baby Krishna. Krishna took the poison, he took the milk, he took her life air, he killed her, but then he liberated her and gave her the highest benediction because he considered, well, at least she tried to be my mother. And he said, who would take shelter of anyone else in this world except for Krishna? He's so kind. He only takes your highest intention and he discounts everything else. And when Shukadeva Goswami heard these verses, he became attracted, even though he was unattached to anything else in this material world. And this proves that the Srimad Bhagavatam is beyond even the liberation of Atmatattva Gyan, of knowing oneself to be different from the body, different from the material world, and unattached to everything else. But when such a person hears the Srimad Bhagavatam, he becomes attached to something much higher, and that's the unlimited variety of Krishna's opulent qualities and the activities in the spiritual world. And he came back to learn that Srimad Bhagavatam from his exalted father, Srila Vyasadeva, and then went out to, out of mercy, give that message to others. He then wandered the countryside and just by Krishna's arrangement was able to meet Parikshit Maharaj. Just after he had given up his kingdom, having been cursed to die within 7 days, having given up his royal dress, sat down in simple cloth on the bank of the Ganges, and he asked the question, what should I do now? How should I prepare for death? And by Krishna's arrangement, he met Shukadeva Goswami, who spoke this Srimad Bhagavatam. This is no ordinary literature. This literature is unparalleled in any sphere of this material world. Just as far as literary device, the poetry of the Srimad Bhagavatam cannot be compared to Shakespeare or any of the great poets of the world. They pale in comparison to the kind of aesthetic quality of just the language and the genius of the writings of Srimad Bhagavatam. The message of Srimad Bhagavatam and the contents, simply by being heard, will liberate the soul from this material world and award the highest benediction. So this is what Srila Prabhupada brought from India. This was his main objective, to make sure that the Srimad Bhagavatam was popularized all over the world, that people would have a chance. And to that end, he spent every single hour that he wasn't resting or managing the Krishna consciousness movement and getting it established, translating Srimad Bhagavatam and overseeing its publication. He was not just passing it on to others, but he oversaw every aspect of the printing of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, the first official printing operation in ISKCON was called ISKCON Press. It was in Boston. In fact, Prabhupada put out a letter in ISKCON in the early days, 1968, and he said, whoever buys a building first, whoever can find a building that can house the ISKCON Press, they will be able to be the home of and the heart of ISKCON. So devotees everywhere, they had no money, and you know how hard it is to find a building, right? They were feverishly trying to be the first ones to find a place where they could put this printing press operation. And Boston was the first place. They found a building, and Prabhupada came there, and they purchased their first press. And Prabhupada personally oversaw the technology of the press. He wanted to hear from each person how they would operate it, how it would all work. And Prabhupada came into the room where the press was, the actual physical printing press was. He offered his full dandavat obeisances to the printing press. Now, this is not unusual. He was following in the footsteps of his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who started the Paramarthi printing works in India. His focus was on printing and distributing literature. In fact, he had twice a day he had magazines going out, publications with, and you know how much it takes to make a newsletter? Do you have a newsletter here? Anybody print a newsletter for Brampton? Pamphlet? A flyer? In the past, that's a good answer. It's hard to make a newsletter. It's hard to keep a newsletter going. What to speak of a magazine? But they were printing two a day, and they were distributed all over India. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was also printing hundreds of books for distribution all over India. And in his printing press, he placed inside the temple. Now you have your altar here, and I want you to imagine where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur put his Paramarthi printing press. Here you have your beautiful deities. You can imagine another altar right next to this, parallel. He put the printing press on the altar next to the deities as one of the main deities. And he, on his logo for the Gaudiya Math, which was the glorious organization that spread Lord Chaitanya's message all over India, he put an image of the printing press on the logo. And above the logo, above the image of the printing press, he put the words Rag Marg, which means the highest conception of love for God. And they worshiped that printing press. As the Brihani deemed it the Brihat Madanga. This Madanga, where is our Madanga? This Madanga is a traditional instrument. When we take it out on the streets of Brampton, people say, what is that? This is a drum meant to glorify God. It has a string around the drum so you can carry it and dance and go from house to house so people can hear the names of God when you're singing. And this is called the Madanga. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that this printing press is called the Brihad Madanga, the greater Madanga, because this is meant to make the sound Hare Krishna, accompany the singing of Hare Krishna, and it can go office to office, corner to corner. But the printing of books means that the sound vibration through literary kirtan, everyone please say. That is, the kirtan is written down in paper. Now it can go from house to house. It can go inside the White House. We can't go inside the White House with a Harinam kirtan. I mean, maybe someday. But right now we can't. But the books, Prabhupada noticed that one of the devotees at that time had sold several books to the children of the then President of the United States, and they took the books right inside the White House. He said, this means Brihat Madanga. This means that this kirtan, this Madanga, the printing press, is louder. It can penetrate deeper. It could go further. And the books last for generations. The sound vibration carries on. So he emphasized this. And therefore, when Prabhupada first came to inaugurate the ISKCON Press in Boston, Massachusetts, he flew all the way across the country for this momentous occasion that he had been waiting for, to have his own press to be able to produce his books in mass for distribution. He offered obeisances to the press, and then he asked, what will this be called? And someone suggested ISKCON Press. He said, this will be called ISKCON Press. And then he said, this will be the heart of our Krishna consciousness movement. And one of the devotees there said, but Prabhupada, you're the heart of the Krishna consciousness movement. And Prabhupada said, yes, but this printing press is my heart. Throughout his campaign, Prabhupada urged us to print and distribute as many books in as many languages and to distribute throughout the world for the best welfare work of all, and that is giving people knowledge about Krishna. He said if people read one word or one line from these books, their lives will be changed. And that if they even touch a book or they come in contact with it, they'll be benefited. Because he said, these are such nice things. They are not from this material world. They're completely spiritual. So our movement moves because we have a mission. We have a goal. We have to have regular goals. And Prabhupada told us the secret of management through his teachings to one of the early leaders in our movement named Karandar Das. Prabhupada trusted him and liked him very much. In fact, he used to have certain leaders that were competent and he would call for them constantly. The first one was Brahmananda. And Brahmananda Swami, whenever anything went wrong, Prabhupada said, get Brahmananda. Any questions, things were going haywire, he said, get Brahmananda. Bring Brahmananda. He would send Brahmananda at a moment's notice around the world. Just get him on a plane, get him out there, fix it. Brahmananda would go fix it. And then came Karandar. Karandar was a very powerful Kshatriya-type devotee. And he knew how to get things done. He was the early GBC in Los Angeles, California. And the temple president, actually he was the GBC, Jai Tirtha was the temple president. And Prabhupada used to call for him all the time, get Karandar, get Karandar. One devotee tells how one day Prabhupada was walking into his apartment in Los Angeles and he stopped and he pointed at the bottom step going up and he said to the devotee, you see this cement step here? Karandar did this. He made this. He had so much faith in Karandar. So Karandar, one of his early leaders, received a letter from Prabhupada. And Prabhupada told him that we don't need to centralize everything in the Krishna consciousness movement. He wanted independently managed centers like you're doing here with some help, little help from the GBC, but he wanted everyone to struggle and learn how to do everything independently like you're doing here, getting your own building and learning how to organize everything. And he said that the leaders of each organization, local organization, should create an atmosphere in which devotees want to perform service that is individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. Please repeat after me. Individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. He said, never kill this spirit. Encourage devotees for their individual, spontaneous, and voluntary spirit. And then he said that you should always create a fresh challenge so that devotees will want to rise up and meet it. And a fresh challenge means that every month there has to be something that we're shooting for. Now, when Prabhupada was with us, there was always a rush to do something else new. Prabhupada never rested. He never said, that's enough, we're okay now. There was always more, and devotees were always working towards some goal. So one of the most important goals that Prabhupada established through his own example and through his letters and through his purports in his books was the distribution of transcendental literature. He counted how many literatures were being distributed, and he actually incited competition amongst all the leaders in the world. He would, for instance, write letters to many of his leaders, and he would say, whoever distributes the most books, I will come and stay at your temple. And I will do all my translating, and I'll stay there. And at the time, San Francisco was doing more than anyone. Karuna's brother, Keshava, was the temple president in San Francisco. And they were very organized, and they had this focus on distributing mass quantities of Bhakti Godhead magazine. And then when the Krishna book came out, they all started innovating to see how they could distribute Krishna book. No one knew how to do it, but they went out and tried, and they had some breakthroughs. And so they started getting some big numbers. And then Prabhupada would say, whoever does the most books, I'll come live with you. He said, but I don't think you'll be able to beat San Francisco. And, you know, the young leaders at that time, they were very competitive. And Prabhupada was poking them, saying, I don't think you can catch such and such or so and so. And they're like, what are you talking about? And then they would foment this spirit of competition within their congregation. They say, we have to catch San Francisco. And this mood pervaded the Krishna consciousness movement. Why did the Krishna consciousness movement grow so rapidly in the beginning? It wasn't by chance. Prabhupada was pushing this. And there was something tangible to look at, the results to look at. Particularly, he said, we were focused on how we were increasing the numbers of literatures that we were distributing. So this is a very practical thing. Of course, we have many other services that we do in ISKCON. And they are absolute, and each one of them is vitally important. But if you look at the seven purposes of ISKCON, have you all seen this document? Prabhupada thought very carefully about what is the purpose of the Christian consciousness movement. He wrote many documents, just like any successful entrepreneur will sit down and say, what is my vision, mission, and write it down, right? So Prabhupada wrote the seven principles of ISKCON, which included several different categories of activity. Look at number seven. Number seven was to achieve all of the above items. We will distribute periodicals, magazines, books, and all kinds of other literatures to achieve all these goals. So Prabhupada held this as vitally important, and we're finding in centers all over ISKCON that we visit, including where we stay in ISKCON Silicon Valley, that to keep regular goals for numbers of books distributed inspires the entire congregation because it is something tangible. First of all, it is directly, verifiably pleasing to our founder Acharya, like no other activity. If you didn't do anything else except for concentrate on book distribution, I guarantee you that you will please our founder Acharya. However, by this concentration on the goals, increasing the numbers of literatures that you distribute, there are collateral benefits. The entire congregation benefits in ways that you can't imagine. In fact, Prabhupada told us that if you concentrate on this one activity, then all the other activities will expand and improve because of your focus on distributing literature. And it means that you have to organize in ways that you didn't think of before. And when people receive the books, lo and behold, they come and they become interested in Krishna consciousness. And then you have to manage the results of your outreach of distributing books. And we're finding everywhere we go in the world that when people receive these books, they read them, their lives change, and they spontaneously come to the Krishna consciousness movement and want to begin practicing. And then we have to teach them. And that's what these temples are for. So Prabhupada once said in a letter that went out to all the devotees in ISKCON that our temples are centers from which we fight Maya. Fighting Maya, he said, means that we send out our troops to drop hundreds of thousands of bombs in the form of books on the public so that they can get relief from this onslaught of Kali Yuga. So now in North America, a couple of years ago, we came together at the GBC meeting and Temple President's meeting that we had in Dallas, Texas. I think it was 3 years ago. And made a proposal that the entire North America work together as one team to achieve certain goals. And one of the goals was to increase the distribution of books, of literatures. And we set the goal to increase by 20% in 1 year. So all the devotees worked together, and we made the goal very visible. And each center did their level best to make their 20% increase. And the first year, we increased by 26.5% overall in North America. That is remittance to the BBC. So then we thought, well, can we do it again? And so the second year, we came and recommended, let's try again for another 20%. And some people said, wait a minute, you know, how can we keep doing this? I mean, do you realize what a 20% increase means every year? But everyone went for it. In fact, Prabhupada said, double it. When devotees brought numbers of, and what does it take to double a score every year? I mean, mathematically, that's staggering what that means. So we said, that's just a small fragment of what Prabhupada asked for. And the second year, 28% increase on top of what we did the year before. And that means a lot of devotees each doing a little bit, every center doing their level best to organize, to make increases, and the effects are systemic within each one of the organizations. They achieve economies of scale and efficiencies they never imagined before by going for these goals. And this year, we asked for an overall 10% increase in remittance to the BBT on top of what we've done the last 2 years, plus the distribution of at least 1,500 sets of Srimad Bhagavatams and at least 500 sets of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. You notice I use the words at least? Because at first, when you say any number, the mind says, well, how are we going to do that? To go from zero to whatever, you always think, like, how is it possible? But here's the trick. As soon as you set the goal, then the mind begins to figure out how to do it, and then Krishna gives the intelligence and the resource how to do it. At one temple in ISKCON, Silicon Valley, just before Gaur Purnima, small temple like you have here, the devotees distributed 192 full sets of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in 1 month. And how did they do it? They set a goal to distribute at least 25 sets. At least. See, these two words are very powerful. At least 25 sets. And they set out, like, how are we going to sell Chaitanya Charitamrita? Who's even heard of Chaitanya Charitamrita before? Not everyone in our congregation has Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's a hint, by the way. And what to speak of going door to door. How are you going to sell Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita? We have no idea, and neither did the devotees in the early days when Prabhupada said, here's the Krishna book, sell it. And everyone said, how are we going to sell this book? It's a, you know, it says Krishna on the front, and people don't know who Krishna is. They don't know anything. And it was hard enough selling a Back to Godhead magazine for 25 cents. And now they had to get $8 for this big, huge book. And devotees didn't know what to do. But that doesn't matter. All they knew is they're going to try, and they're going to do the best they could. So the devotees went out, they knock on the door, and they said, you know, please take this. And Prabhupada gave the example that if your house is burning down and you don't speak the local language, somehow or other you'll get the message across. And therefore, we say that the expansion of our Krishna consciousness movement is based on one thing. It's called a house on fire desire. You have to have a house on fire desire to expand your Brampton into something that is a beacon. It already is. It's an example which is inspiring people everywhere, the fact that you've come together. But you want more. How is it done? You have to have a house on fire desire. And how do you expand your own Krishna consciousness? You have to have a house on fire desire. Rupa Goswami said, Krishna bhakti ras bhavito mati kriyatam yadi kritopi labhyate. Tataloyam api mulyamekalam janmakoti sukritir nalabhyate. You can't get Krishna consciousness by buying it, by performing pious activities for millions of lives, he said. There's only one way to purchase it. He said, by intense desire. You have to have an intense desire. So we invite you at ISKCON Brampton to make some very scary goals for yourself. The kind of goals you come together and you talk amongst yourselves and you say, what can we do that's more than we've done before, that's possibly within reach, but will keep the temple president and the council up, at least for the first few nights, wondering how we're going to do this. It should be like that. It should be that inspiring. And once you have the goal in mind and you say, this is the number we're going to do in 2014, do or die in our organization, you'll find unprecedented growth, spiritual growth, and the expansion and facility that you'll get from your organization by the blessings of Srila Prabhupada and by the sheer force of your aiming at this particular very auspicious goal will be uncanny and will surprise you in wonderful ways. Those are a few thoughts, and now I'll just take a couple of reflections, anything you heard, or a question if you have one. Yes, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
I would like to ask you a question. I had a recent challenge that someone who is a devotee, but not active devotee, so he asked me, he said, why is not in North America, particularly here, you don't have big temples? He said, look at Gujarati community, look at some community, they build hundreds of temples, and you just come fully and manage two or three temples. And I didn't know what to answer.
First of all, we're not interested in temples. Prabhupada wasn't interested in temples. Temple worship is for a different yuga. We're in Kali Yuga right now. It's not about building big temples. Kali Yuga is Harinam. Harinama, Harinama, Hariname Vakevalam, Kalau Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. Nothing works in Kali Yuga. Nothing. Have you ever noticed that? Or is it just me? There's only one thing that works. And this is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. But there's one great quality about it, and that is by chanting Hare Krishna, you can cross over the ocean of material suffering. We're not interested in big temples. India, it comes a little easier, but it wasn't Prabhupada's focus to build gigantic temples. They're a big headache. Maintaining temples is a problem. It's necessary to manage the results of our outreach. When we go out and meet people and we give them Krishna consciousness, we need to have some place for them to come and see us and associate with devotees. And that's how we develop temples. But our main focus is to spread the chanting of Hare Krishna and to teach people how to chant Hare Krishna. Now, just as far as history goes, in the 60s and 70s and early 80s, actually in the 60s and 70s, we couldn't get an Indian to join the Krishna conscious movement. Gopal Krishna Maharaj was our one glorious example of an Indian, but everyone used to ask us back then, it's like, okay, your tradition comes from India and everything. Where's all the Indians? You guys are Americans and Australians and Europeans, you know. It's like, why aren't Indians interested? It's a fact. There was no Indians. And in fact, we'd approach Indians at that time, and there were some sympathetic people, but tiny. There was a lot going on there. Technical colleges were coming up, and there was this feeling in India that, like, let's catch up technologically, educationally with the West. It's been done. Now it's done. At least educationally. Indians dominate the world in IT and so forth. But they weren't interested back then in Krishna consciousness. This is a recent phenomenon that India is taking off like this. And we can't create these waves. We just ride them. That's not our business to create a wave and say, why isn't it like this? Why isn't it like that? We just look and say, this is how it is. Let's take full advantage of what we have. And we have to follow, we have to first of all understand what is the mood and method of our acharya. And in fact, before Prabhupada left in 1977, he said, enough temples. He said, now let's get into restaurants and reading rooms. He said, well, reading rooms are kind of like these loft-like places where people have a chance to come and hear about Krishna and talk to devotees informally. And these gigantic grand temples, that's a big struggle. That's not our main focus. So we're India, it's happening naturally. It's happening easily because thousands and thousands of people coming forward and offering their resources and so forth. Hare Krishna. Another question? Yes.
Do you have any advice on how to distribute books in New York where there's not much foot traffic, like around here?
Yeah, door to door. We've been very successful in ISKCON Silicon Valley. We have similar look in our area. You know, where our temple is, we're 5 minutes from Google. We're 20 minutes from Apple. We're right in the heart of Silicon Valley, right in the middle of it all. And there's not a lot of foot traffic. There's no there. It's not like you say, that's downtown. San Jose, Mountain View, all those places, they just have tiny little downtowns like you have here. And it's not like a big center where everybody meets. So we go door to door. Prabhupada mentions this in his purports in many places. He says the main interest of the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement is to go door to door. So we, several years ago, we said, well, let's try it. People probably keep saying it. Lord Nityananda did it. Why don't we try it? So we started going door to door. And guess what? People live in there. And, you know, they're at home. So it's like... on the street, you have to stop people. It's very, like, sometimes you're trying to figure out how to compete with all the other people on the street and all the noises and stuff. It's very difficult. But when families go out together, if you go out as a couple and you bring your baby with you, you know, knock on the door, people open up. And it's a community thing. They'll say, how are you? And please come in. And you can give them books. Just in the, we're selling sets of Bhagavatams door to door. At our temple, full sets of Bhagavatams. Last year, between Gaur Purnima and Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance day, which is mid-June, the devotees sold 145 sets of Srimad Bhagavatams going door to door. Because you go door to door, and you know, you knock on the door, and people open the door, and then you just make friends with them, and then they'll invite you in. You can bring in the set of Srimad Bhagavatams and say, we're not leaving until you take this. And then we do an installation ceremony in their house. We take out the books, we do an artik. You know, we put flowers, we do a little artik for the books, and then we take down the first canto and we pass it around, and we have everybody in the family read one paragraph. And then we install the books. And those people become Krishna conscious. They'll join your congregation. Once they get the Bhagavatam, their material life is finished. It's like an atom bomb going off, spiritual atom bomb going off in their house. It's very powerful. And it's really good for the devotees to go out and do door-to-door. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told his sannyasis that every day they should go out and knock at least four doors. And he said, even if people don't take... they will be inspired that someone came to my door and they'll think of Krishna. But it's for our own purification. When you go out the door with the idea, let me trust Krishna. Let me try this thing. Let me go out. Prabhupada did it. He did it in a huge way. I mean, he had no resources. He came across the ocean with no guarantee of anything. We always have the temple to come back to. We have our house to come back to. We have books already printed. He did this from scratch, but the principle is the same. When you walk out the door with this feeling, let me just try, I'm going to totally depend on Krishna, you become a bigger devotee and your whole congregation becomes stronger. Because The congregation is a body. Your temple is a body, just like this is a body here. And this body has to breathe. So the body of your temple also has to breathe. And here's how the breath works. When you go out with some books in your hand, not knowing what to do, where to go, but you go out and you just try to distribute some books to people and to do good for them, you go out and you take all the fears. Fear is a kind of poison that gets into the mind and the heart, right? You go out the door. It's a little scary, isn't it? Just walking out the door and say, I'm going to do this. Come on. Yes? Yeah. Even devotees who have been distributing books for 40 years, this experience is the same. What's going to happen today? You start over every day, right? So that's why it's a nice service. You walk out the door and you say, I'm going to try. Just like Prabhupada got on the Jaladuta, today I'm getting on my Jaladuta. I know what's going to happen. I don't know who's going to meet me, but I'm going to go out and I'm going to try my best because it's the order of my superiors and I'm going to do this thing. So when you go out, as soon as you walk out the door, the fear dissipates into the atmosphere. And you think, okay, I'm depending on Krishna now. And that's just like when we exhale, we take out carbon dioxide and all kinds of other toxins that are in our body, we exhale and they go out. And then when we're out there, we meet people that bolster our faith. Every time you'll meet somebody, you'll meet a Muslim man. And he'll look at the Bhagavad Gita and he'll say, yes, I'll take it. I believe in this. I love it. We have every day when our troops go out from our temple, they bring back the most amazing stories. Just last week we had a story. One of our devotees was distributing books going door to door, and then a man was driving out of the parking lot and he stopped at a stop sign and the devotees waved to him. He waved back. So they ran over to the window. They started talking to him. They showed him the Bhagavad Gita. I have the Bhagavad Gita. He said, what about the Srimad Bhagavatam? Car's still running. They said, you should take the Bhagavatam. He said, yes, yes, I'll come to the temple, I'll get it. He said, no, we have it right here. He said, how much is it? $250. I don't know how I can pay for it. I don't have a credit card. We have a credit card machine. He said, how big is it? He said, here it is. He said, let's see if it fits in the back seat. Car's still running. Puts the box in the back seat. Credit card is slides through the machine. He drives away from the stop sign. He just bought a set of Srimad Bhagavatams. Yeah. Did they plan that? Did they know that was going to happen when they walked out the door? They had no idea that was going to happen. But did that increase their faith? Did that give them more capacity to hear and chant themselves and to understand how Lord Chaitanya is the one behind this movement? You know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the way he managed his mutts, when the mutt vasis, when the temple president would get a big donation, he would make them spend it immediately on a festival. He would send spend it and borrow more money because he wanted them to be in this on the edge. He didn't want them to feel like we're good, we're all set. He wanted them to feel like we're depending on Krishna. That's the movement. That's Krishna consciousness. It means you have to go out and risk your own sense of security as frequently as you can. And when you do that, when you live on that edge, that's breathing. You go out, you take your fears, and then what you get is this experience by meeting people, and you see Krishna is in everyone's heart. He's within the heart. And the highest worship, Lord Shiva says this, the greatest Vaishnava, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, when he was approached by all the demigods because they had churned the ocean of milk, and the first thing came out, poison. It was going to destroy the whole universe. So to glorify Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu took all the demigods, they said, pray to Lord Shiva, he'll save us. And before he drank that ocean of poison to save the universe, Lord Shiva said, tapyante lokatapena sarava prayasojana, that the highest method of worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's within everyone's heart, is to take some austerity for yourself to go out and try to save the individual soul. And the vision of the Madhyama Adhikari, that's the very advanced preacher devotee, is that every body you see is a tabernacle. Please say tabernacle.
Tabernacle.
Say it again.
Tabernacle.
I just like the way it sounds. A tabernacle, the Jewish people had these ways they did their worship every day. So as they were traveling, because they were nomadic for some time, they had these moving temples, and they were called tabernacles. So you'll find this word in Prabhupada's books, in his purports. He said, each body is a tabernacle. It carries every body you meet. When you meet the barber down the street, when you meet the person who's walking along smoking a cigarette and comes from, you know, Ghana and now lives in Canada, that's a soul. And he's traveling a tabernacle, and God is right next to him. In this age, that's the temple. That's where we do our worship in the age of Kali Yuga. We do this kind of puja, that we approach each individual temple, walking temple, and we worship God within the heart, who's actually there because he loves the soul so much. He's such a great friend. Suridam Sarvabhutanam, the best friend of the soul. He won't leave him. And as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the person who gives that ignorant soul, the soul lost in the material world, the opportunity to reconnect with him is the most dear to me. That's temple worship. That's the highest temple worship. Building temples all over the place, that's for neophytes, actually. It's specific, and it's needed, because there's so many neophytes in the world, that they have to come in and have this sense to be liberated imperceptibly by smelling the incense and see the deity. But the higher method of worshiping God is to go out and risk your own sense of security to meet Krishna within the heart of every individual tabernacle. Each individual body is a traveling temple with God in it, and the whole purpose of the creation of this material world is to give that soul an opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. So this book distribution is an unusually high kind of sadhana. It's the kind of sadhana that Prabhupada emphasized, that said, go out and distribute these books. And he said, when you do this, he said, if you try to do it, you will gain superior strength and knowledge in Krishna consciousness. This is the breathing process. We organize so the more devotees can go out and have the experience of letting the fear in their hearts and minds dissipate, taking this chance, seeing the great miracle of what happens when they present Krishna consciousness to others. They inhale. And what do they bring in? They bring in this realization that God's in everyone's heart, and that Lord Chaitanya is empowering those who go out, and they bring that to the body of the temple. Then you have some really powerful nutrients within the temple. So that has to go on regularly. Just as we're breathing now, we exhale, we inhale. So the temple also has to breathe. That's the process of outreach, going out to save the others and give them an opportunity. And because you're all mostly from Bharat, you have a very specific instruction given right in our own Shastra that that's what you're supposed to do. Bharata bhumate hoila manasa janma jar, janma sartak parik para upakar. You're meant to do good for all the people of the world because you know what's what. You're supposed to do it. So this is our mission. And this book distribution is very tangible in that way. Yes, Prabhu. You know, how to encourage new devotees for book distribution, Harinam. Make an arrangement that everyone can go out. New devotees don't know what they're supposed to do. They're waiting for you to tell them. So if your program is to go out on book distribution, Harinam, they'll just come out with you. Because they'll come and they say, what do you guys do? And you say, we go on Sankirtan. One of the first devotees in our temple, I remember the first day he came there, we were all getting ready to go on Sankirtan. Ramananda Sakha Prabhu, who's become one of the pillars of our organization. First day he walked in, we were all going out on Sankirtan. He just walked in first time. He said, so we're going to Sankirtan. You want to come? You said, what's Sankirtan? He said, well, why don't you come and find out? So I took him along with me. We had set up that day outside an Indian store. We had a book table and a book rack, and there was a couple of us distributing. And then the book table got so crowded, we were all busy. And I saw Ramananda standing there. At the time, his name was Ramaswamy. And some people came over, and they started browsing the book. And I said, take care of him. And he didn't know what to do. It was his first time out. So he picked out a Shriya Upanishad, or they picked it out. And he said, I've heard that's a really good book. And they bought it and gave him $10. And then he started, and I thought, see, anybody can do this. You just have to go out and try. Actually, I'll tell you a secret. One thing that we used to do at our little temple, it's kind of funny, that indicates how anybody can do Sankirtan. In our Sunday program, we did this for about a year and a half. I didn't even know if I should tell you. All right, I'll tell you. Here was our Sunday program. People would come, we'd have a room full of guests and, you know, our local congregation. And we had an allotted 45 minutes or 50 minutes for the whole lecture, right? So I'd give half the lecture and I'd say, we'd talk about what we do and what Sankirtan means and how important it is to give to others and so forth. Then we'd stop the lecture halfway through for an intermission. We'd say, so anyone who wants to try this, all you have to do is walk out the front door. There's somebody with a clipboard. They'll sign you up, and the cars are already waiting for you. And we had about 7 cars lined up, already running, with books in the car, and each one of them had a map of where they were going to go. And we said, we'll have you back here in 1 hour, and you can have the experience for yourself and see how it is. So half the guest population that came to our temple would walk out the door and just jump in a car. And they go out there, and they go door to door, and then they come back, and we'd guarantee them they'd be back in time for the singing of the Nisringa prayers and prasadam and everything like that. So when they came back in, there would be this palpable energy of all these people bounding back in from doing door to door. And then we'd pass the microphone around and say, so how did you like it? And people were like just so exhilarated from the experience. New people. So, like, we had one time, this guy came and said, I don't know, someone just invited me to come and I had nothing to do, so I came to the temple and, you know, I don't even know much about this, but I sold a Bhagavad Gita. And people had all these, like, wonderful experiences. And so, you know, when you broadcast that, when you make it available, people will, they pick up on the energy and they become very interested in it. So, new people, actually, the best thing is if you have regular programs where you can all go out together in a fun environment where there's no expectation, and you lower the bar so low that people think, like, that's too low. That's how low it should be. Everyone says, that's too low. I can just step over that. And you say, that, exactly, that's easy. In fact, when I go to start a monthly Sankirtan festival, which has become very popular all over the world now, this we call MSF, Monthly Sankirtan Festival. Once a month, the whole congregation goes out together, and they work together. So I tell the devotees, well, the first time we meet for this MSF, I say, we're not going to distribute any books. Nirkula witness? So everyone's nervous. They're thinking, what are we going to do? And I say, we're not doing any books. The hardest part of Sankirtan is troop movement. Believe me, that's the hardest part. How to get, like, if we were going to, all of us right now, to move from here to another location in Brampton within a half an hour, how would you do it? It'd be very, you know, challenging, right? So I tell the devotees, that's the hard part of Sankirtan. The easy part is when you get out there. Nobody wants to come back after that. So I tell everybody, the first goal is to go out, and we all, if we can get from point A to point B, the assigned spot, and just touch the pavement, then we're done for the day. And anything after that is extra. Anything in that is extra. So we all go out there, and we do the ceremonial touch the pavement, and everyone's, we're done. And now you do whatever you like. And before we go out, we do a little training. And we show a way, we line everybody up facing each other. And I take everybody through a template where I show how to distribute a Bhagavad Gita on its own merit. And it takes about 45 minutes to show a whole room full of devotees how to sell a Bhagavad Gita on its own merit. And I guarantee it, that once you learn this one technique, how to sell a Bhagavad Gita on its own merit, you can sell a Bhagavad Gita anywhere, to anyone, at any time. Guaranteed. Or your money back from my seminar. And it's amazing because devotees go out and they just try it because they just say, I don't know what to say, but I'm just going to follow the template. And they come back and they say, it works. And they say, I know. It's been passed down through generations of devotees distributing books and it just works. So we train the devotees how to do it. We give them a little seminar. We talk about how important it is. And we tell them the prime directive is to leave everyone with a good impression. We're not going out to sell books. We're going out to make friends with people. If they happen to take a book, that's fine. There's no pressure. We all just work together and go out and have fun and have this experience. And if you do that once a month, at least once a month, and you set the goal ahead of time for the dates that you're going to go out, and then you go out together, it'll create a kind of energy that will improve everyone in the whole congregation, and the energy will be very powerful, and you'll get special recognition from Srila Prabhupada and from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay? Hare Krishna. Okay? We want to go out now? Yes?
We are going out tomorrow if anybody wants to join us.
Oh, we're going out, yes, up in Toronto. So if you want to come out, you can come out with us in Toronto. I think it's very important that you develop this thing here if you haven't already. Because Brampton is, I was looking at the city as I was going by. This place is huge. You have a lot of door-to-door capability here. A lot of door-to-door opportunity here. You want like middle-class apartments, and you just go and you knock on the doors. I can show you how to do it, and we have videos that show how to do it, but it's relatively really simple. You just knock on the door like that. And then you wait, and when somebody opens the door, you can hand them a card and say hi. We're with a local center. We teach yoga and meditation and bhakti and things like that. And just hand them a card and say, how are you? And then you'll understand right away whether they're friendly or not. And if they are, then you say, and here, we're showing our books. And you can just hand over a Bhagavad Gita. And then we just say, about the Bhagavad Gita, we say, these are books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress. You've heard of stress before, right? Yes? And then we say, but you don't look stressed. You look very spiritual. What's your secret? And we ask people what their secret is. And then they'll say something like what? What do they say? I do yoga. I do exercise. I smoke marijuana. Yeah, and it's according to if they're in Sattva, Rajas, Tamas, they'll tell you something. And then they say, I knew it. I could tell that. And then we just show them the book. We show them the back cover. We show them Gandhi and Thoreau, Emerson. We show them the front that it's used in all the universities. Then you show the pictures, show and tell. And you just show changing bodies. And then you show how the senses are like horses. They pull us in different ways. But yoga shows how you can control your senses so you can go in the direction you want. You ask them what karma is, and they tell you what it means to them. And then we tell a little joke. We say, so what do you do professionally? Anybody here work? Here, give me a Bhagavad Gita, a yellow Bhagavad Gita, quick. Who has a profession in here? Anybody work? Yes, what do you do?
IT.
What kind of IT do you do? What kind of company you work for?
I work for
company. It's a finance? Credit card, IT credit card.
Yellow.
Oh, that'll work, I think. Yeah? So there's a picture in here of a sage meditating, and he's popping out the top of his head. Right? So I ask, so what do you do? What's your profession? He says, IT, you know, work for bank and stuff like that. I said, really? Look, this guy used to be in IT. And they do, they laugh like that. And then I hand them the book back, and I say, we don't sell these books like in a bookstore. We take a donation. We don't need the money. The reason we ask is, it's an ancient tradition. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down, and it gives you this powerful energy called Sukriti, and it allows you to enter into the teachings in the book. So you give what you can to help out. And people give a donation for the book, and then right after they buy the book, we say, do you believe in the power of prayer? Do you all believe in the power of prayer?
Yes.
Yeah. And if they say no, then we say, perfect, I'll give you a mantra. So we take a card with the mantra on it. You have that, right? Yeah, Brent. So you hand a card and you say, okay, this is a very powerful prayer. It's meant to wake up love for God in your heart. And I'm going to say it. You can repeat and then you'll know how to do it. Are you ready? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. Krishna
Krishna. Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare
Rama.
Hare
Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
And then give them some prasadam. There's no earthly reason why not to give every person you meet prasadam. Prasadam's available. You can offer something simple, but always carry some prasadam with you in your bag, in your pocket, and wherever you go, make sure you give out. Especially as grihasthas, you should always be giving something out to other people. Never pass somebody by. See, anybody on the street begging or anywhere you go, if you go to the bank to make a transaction, don't go make an ordinary transaction. Bring some prasadam with you. And what happens is you make the transaction, you give them the prasadam, and then they'll say, well, thank you very much. You come back next week and make another deposit, and you give the prasadam again. They say, I remember you. And the third time you come in, they're going to say, who are you? And then you say, here, check this out. This is what I do. See, prasadam opens the door, and it makes friends everywhere, and there's no reason not to distribute prasadam. This Brampton, you should, there's 500,000 people here. I saw the sign when I came in. You should have a goal to give 500,000 pieces of prasadam. Why not make that your banner? We give prasadam to everybody in Brampton and figure out how to do it. That's a movement. That's how to move. That's how a movement moves. If you do that, then your mind will be absorbed in Krishna. You'll be thinking 24 hours a day. We can't go to the Himalaya and sit down and chant 24 hours a day, but we can try to spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. And that's what Prabhupada said as an uttama adhikari. One who completes his 16 rounds faithfully, follows the four regular principles steadily, and is thinking 24 hours a day how to spread Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. He says in the Nectar of Instruction, that is an uttama adhikari. He defines that as the highest kind of devotional service. And that's what you're all doing. And you have such a perfect opportunity here because you're a beginning temple. You have flexibility. There's no rigid structures holding you in one way or another. Make your future preaching and how to get out to all the people of Brampton. And Krishna will come and personally drop a temple on your head. And that's what I told all the devotees in Silicon Valley, and it happened. You know, for years, we had the crummiest little building, and the devotees were happy like anything until they started to turn sad because they were thinking, why does everybody else get it? I said, keep preaching, keep distributing books. The more you give out, the more the supply increased. They said, okay, where is it? Where is it? I said, don't worry, it's coming. Just keep distributing the books. Krishna will come and drop a temple on your head if you distribute enough books. And then one day we were sitting there right after Ram Navami, and I said, look around. Krishna just dropped a brand new temple right on our head. So concentrate on this paru-upakar. Do good for others. Every individual, one person can change the whole world. One individual person who's deputed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has this burning desire to do good for others, can change the whole world. What to speak of Brampton? You can take this place over. It's only 500,000 people here. So for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saturate it with books. Make sure everyone gets a book. Make sure there's prasadam that everybody who sees you will pull over on the street and say, give me prasadam. I know that's what you guys do. That's the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thank you very much. Brampton ISKCON, Brampton Key. Prashadam Distribution Key. Transcendental Book Distribution Key. Gopremanande! Gopremanande! Gauranga! Gauranga! No, you gotta be loud. You gotta put your hands in there. You gotta say Gauranga so loud this building shakes. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Gauranga! A little bit louder. 1, 2, 3. Gauranga! So whenever you do these programs, it's like, get into that zone. Number 7, the holy name, enthusiasm for spreading Krishna consciousness, and everything will come of its own accord. Vancha kalpataruvascha kripa sanabhi evacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Nacharyar marman, nacharyar marman, nacharyar marman, nacharyar marman.